and a half, half a marathon, and the kids 1 kilometer. And some friends of mine were organizing it, so I was there helping set stuff up. And then a friend says, "Brian, aren't you running?" "No, I'm not going to run." "Come on, Brian, you're running." "No, I'm not going to run. I haven't ran in 2 years. Why would I think about running?" "You are going to run, aren't you?" "I'm sure I'm going to run." So those of you that were there know it wasn't a pretty sight, but I managed to cross the finish line with help from lots of people. So hopefully that's the start of continuing running again. So 2 years after knee surgery, there's no pain in the knee after running, so it's no longer an excuse. And spontaneity, I guess, is the way I activate myself. So I'm going again. So tomorrow I need to work out the pain. Pain is good. Go run again. In contrast with my spontaneity, the story we have today about Jesus in John chapter 11 is actually a story of very intentional planning. What Jesus does in this story today is actually plans ahead. He hears some sad news, some troubling news, and yet intentionally waits in order for the situation to develop to bring glory to God. It's going to be important for us to understand today what's going on, truths that are there, because we need it in our lives today. I need it. I'm challenged. These words that we've been singing have been leading us to this point today to take God's word and apply it to our lives and carry it through this week. Carry us through whatever's going to come. For our faith to be strong and our trust to be deep. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning as your people. We come to you as a group of believers who need to hear your voice. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way with us. Work in our hearts through the reading of your word, through explanation, speak through me. But we come because we are your children, and you delight in us. You love us. So speak to us this morning and change our lives. Help us to understand our Savior even better, and that through knowing him, our faith, our trust, our belief will grow and change our life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The events in John chapter 11 today are intended in the life of the disciples, in the life of Mary and Martha and crowds that are following. The event that takes place in the story have a purpose of revealing people's belief, helping them to understand where they're at in their spiritual journey, and helping them to take that next step, giving them that chance to say or to do something with what they are believing. So Jesus' intent of these verses is to provoke belief, to challenge it, to kind of get under their skin and help them to wrestle with who Jesus is, the claims that he's making. And in this chapter, it starts off with, first of all, with a statement that Jesus kind of sets up the whole picture. And then they go into this difficult situation. There's a call for belief. And only at the very end do we see the power of God at work. And like our brother shared with us this morning about in Moses' life. The power, the proof comes at the end as people are following after Jesus. So in John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. We all know the story of Lazarus if we've grown up in the church. Lazarus being raised from the dead. But rather than simply just looking at his focus on Lazarus, because this poor guy's been dead. Okay, by the time we get to him in the story, he's been dead for 4 days. So he's not really the focus. He's just kind of the object of the power of God. So it must be other people that are being affected by what's going on here. I'm so thankful for this stool as we're going because my legs are sore. So sit down today because it's not going to keep standing. And you're laughing at me, those of you that are runners, and saying, "Come on, Brian, get back in shape." We start off this chapter here with Lazarus being sick. And people come, Mary and Martha, his sisters, send people to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, you know you're a long way away, a town miles and miles away. But hey, Lazarus is sick, come and help." What are they expecting? What does Jesus do? You resurrect. They don't know that yet. They know he does miracles.
Yeah.
Thank you. Put you on the spot. Jesus does miracles. So if Jesus shows up, he's going to do a miracle. He can heal the sick. Hey, this is way to take care of Lazarus. So they're expecting Jesus to come running and to bring healing. And this statement right here, I want us to remember today. I want you to remind somebody about it this week as well. It says right here, Jesus' first words in this chapter, this sickness will not end in death. This sickness will not end in death. Now, what do we already know about the story of Lazarus? Who dies?
Lazarus.
Okay, but Jesus is setting up this whole story with this phrase, this sickness will not end in death. So here in front of his disciples, he's kind of giving them a little insight into what's coming, even though they're clueless at this point. In fact, Jesus does nothing. He sits around for two more days in this village doing nothing, then slowly meanders to where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are and finds out Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Okay, so that's what's coming. But here, the very first thing Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. Whoa. All right, powerful statement Jesus is making here. And it's actually the foundation for what he's calling them to believe later on. This is the statement. This sickness will not end in death. So they sit around for a few days, and then finally Jesus says to his disciples, hey, it's time for us to go to Judea. And they kind of look at him and say, excuse me, isn't that the place where people want to kill you? You want to go there? And Jesus says, well, actually Lazarus fell asleep, so we do need to go see him. This reminds you of how we've seen the disciples in the last couple weeks that don't quite understand the double meaning that Jesus has here. They say, well, if he's sleeping, then he's going to get healthy. No, Jesus says he's actually dead. Lazarus has died, but it tells us here, for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. The situation is set up here for the disciples, for Mary, for Martha, and the crowds that are around there to believe. To believe in Jesus, to believe in his words, to believe in his power. I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. Beside you, advance one slide, just leave it right there. But let's go to him. The disciples, again, kind of missing the whole point of what Jesus is doing here, have a fatalistic response to Jesus' plan for their lives to help them to learn. They actually say, Thomas says, all right, let's go with Jesus to this place and we'll die with him. Okay, they're not really expecting a lot out of Jesus here, then we're all going to die. This is, and drink the Kool-Aid and we all die together. But in this story here, it's setting us up to understand these disciples have a lot to learn. They need to put their faith in Jesus, in his words, and they kind of pay attention to what he's saying along the way. That's why we go back to that first word. This illness will not end in death. And here Jesus is telling him, but he's dead. For a lot of us, not all of us, death is pretty final. We see that as the bookend, right? We're born, we die, and there it is. Jesus is picking up our eyes to the bigger picture and saying, this illness is not the end. This death, death is not the end. They travel, they get to this town here of where Lazarus has died, and they find out that he's been dead for 4 days. The word spreads ahead, and Martha, sister of Lazarus, comes running out to meet him. Now this phrase that is spoken here, I can guarantee you, you've said it yourself and you've heard other people ask this question or say the statement, Lord, if only you had been here, this would not have happened. Jesus, if you had shown up, we wouldn't be in this situation. Excuse me, Jesus, if you'd just been here a few days earlier, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in. Jesus, really, if you just acted, I wouldn't be hurting right now. I wouldn't have this loss. Martha says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She's honest. She's emoting here. She's saying the truth. Jesus could have healed the sick. But she still knows that he can ask the Father. Jesus replies to that, your brother will rise again. A glimmer of hope for her, disciples that are right there standing listening. And Martha puts it in the future tense, saying, yes, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So when the end times come, my brother will rise again. She puts it all the way in the future. There's faith. Jesus' words, he is who he says he is. Someday, this is going to be taken care of. And that's where we get to these verses that are on the screen today. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And this question, do you believe this? Dan, do you believe this? Jesus makes a claim here. We've understood already these statements that Jesus are making in the book of John. I am. Is pointing to his deity. He is God. He was, he is to come. Jesus saying, I am God. And here he's saying, I am God over life and death. I am the resurrection and the life. What does resurrection presuppose? What are we assuming when we hear that somebody has to be raised from the dead? They died. Yeah. Death's involved in resurrection. Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Assuming that there is death involved somewhere in this situation. And yet, because we can go back to that first statement of Jesus in this chapter, where he says to them, this illness will not end in death. There must be something else going on. Jesus is saying here, claiming to be God, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even if they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe? He's looking right at Martha in this. They're having this friendship, this deep conversation going. Even when Jesus heard that news 4 days ago, 6 days ago, earlier in that week, and he found out that Lazarus was sick, it says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and yet he stayed for these 2 days. In the context of Jesus' love, he waited. In the context of his knowing that what was happening was for God's glory, Jesus waited. And now he's come. He's looking her in the face. 4 days after her brother was put in the grave, ground, and the stone rolled over, and he asked her, do you believe? Do you believe? The question that Martha asked here, Lord, if you had been here, we answer that question for Martha about what's in this chapter. We know it will not end in death. We know Jesus is working towards God's glory and the Son's glory. And we know that Jesus loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus very deeply. So when Martha gets to this situation and calls out to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. As a reader, we know these things. And we know that Jesus is bringing this to their attention so they can learn about him. They can know him better. They can know of his love. Martha puts it into the future and says, yeah, I believe this will happen, Lord, when Jesus, Son of Man, comes to the world. I believe. And she goes back to the house. Jesus doesn't move. He just stays there and Martha tells Mary, and then Mary comes out. And her first words, same as Martha's. She says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 32. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. She doesn't even go on any farther than that. In fact, what we see here is the depth of pain in the situation. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews around her that were weeping, He was troubled in his spirit. The only question Mary could ask in this moment of pain was, Lord, where were you? Why am I here in this situation? If you had shown up, Jesus, this would not be happening. Jesus loves them. He's with them in this situation. He's overcome with the emotion of the moment. Why is that? Why would Jesus himself weep in this moment? One is the compassion, the sympathy, the coming alongside of them and being with them. Another is that he loves them deeply. But it's the God of the universe is recognizing that these circumstances are not part of creation. Death, suffering, pain, it's a result of our sin. A result of the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. It's a consequence that just keeps coming along. But there's a solution to death. Which is why Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live again. The one who lives will live forever. Do you believe? The power of God is riding in this question right here. Creation is not how it is, should be, not how it was created to be. It's not perfect. We are facing death. We're not created to die. Just what happened to every one of us experience. We're created to live forever in a relationship with this loving Creator God. Jesus is weeping in this moment. He understands her pain. He understands what's going on. And yet, we believe and we see and we read here, it's for a reason. We know that this illness will not end in death, even though right now he's facing death in the eyes. We know this is about the glory of God being revealed. And we know that Jesus loves Mary in this moment of pain. He loves Martha. And because he told Martha, we also know at this point, Lazarus is going to rise again. Things that we can believe are growing. From this point here, the crowds around them are emoting as well. And they actually say a very key question right here. The crowds, after Jesus asked, where has Lazarus been laid? Where is his tomb? They said, come, we'll show you. And in his tears, Jesus is crying. And in this moment, the crowds themselves repeat this question. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind kept this man from dying? Three times we hear this question. Are you hearing it? Jesus, in this moment of death, what happened? You could have healed him. Jesus, in this moment of pain, if you'd only shown up, this would have been prevented. Lazarus is gone. There's an emptiness. Death has revealed itself. And the question that every one of these people in this moment are asking is, Jesus, where were you? And Jesus' question that he's putting back to them is, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? In what? What are the people? In what? What are they supposed to be believing? Someone they loved has been pulled away from them. What are they supposed to be believing? Jesus could have prevented this, but he didn't. What are they supposed to be believing? This illness will not end in death. The glory of God will be revealed. Jesus loves them. And his statement, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? this painful moment, they get to the tomb. It's time to see people's faith, right? Roll back the tombstone, open up the grave. Martha, who says, hey, I believe he's going to be raised in the last day, is the one that speaks up and says, I'm bored. He stinks. He's been dead 4 days. The sun's been beating down on his grave. His body's not what it used to be. You think you're getting old? Belief? Jesus is going to do something? It's not there. It's not happening. Crowds aren't believing. Mary and Martha are like, really, no, please don't do that. His disciples are quiet at this point, wondering what's going on. And Jesus says, open it up. And he challenges Martha. He says, didn't I tell you if you believed you would see the glory of God? Question, do you believe? Thank God that he moves sometimes despite the unbelief here. And he prays out, Father God, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I'm praying this right now for the benefit of those around me, that they may believe that you sent me. This has been at least 4 days of building up, of intentionality on Jesus' part, bringing all these people to this point right here, so that they could believe that Jesus is God. He's sent from the Father. That he has power over life and death. That he is the resurrection and the life. And the only way this moment could happen is if death was faced eye to eye. Unless Lazarus did die. Unless they face that pain that comes with that. Unless they could know Jesus has power not just over sickness, but over death itself. We heard this claimed several weeks ago when Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, says, I have the power to lay down my life and pick it up again. Here he's saying, I have the power over life itself. I can give it back. I am the resurrection. I am life. Do you believe? And for the benefit of the people, praise to God. And then he says in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Come out of the grave. And somehow, bound hand and foot, covered in burial clothes, Lazarus comes out alive. They unbind him. Living again. This is where the power of God shows up. It's with the intentionality, with the purpose of those gathered around to say, he claimed this. He claimed to be the resurrection. He claimed to be the life. He promised us that this sickness would not end in death. And look, it didn't. There's life on the other side of death. There's resurrection. We can believe. The disciples here are stunned by who God is, the Savior that they're following. Most of them. Some of them ran off and told the Pharisees that Jesus had done this, and they get all upset. And they want to kill Lazarus again. So that's kind of a futile effort. Jesus' claim in this chapter touches our life today. If you were to look at the circumstances in your life right now and say, what is my reaction, my emotion, my response to the events in my life today reveal about my belief in who God is? How would you answer that? What's going on in your life today? What's going on that you have to be able to say, I believe in Jesus? When I was in college, I heard news on the phone once that my mom potentially had breast cancer. I went out running in the city. crying and saying, God, how dare you touch my mom? That revealed my heart. It revealed that my mom was more important. Trusting Jesus. And when we come face to face with death, we are so often like the people in this chapter. Those closest to Jesus even, Mary and Martha. Jesus, where are you? And we got to remember, we have to remember that Jesus is intentional with us as well. We face these circumstances that just pull the foundation out from under our lives, put everything into a tailspin. We can go back to these verses right here. And first of all, remember, this circumstance that I'm in, it's not going to end in death. Whatever it is you're facing right now, it's not going to end in death. Even if you pass through death, it's not the end. We'll face death. Jesus claims, as I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never see death. Do you believe? When you face these circumstances in your life where your job is at stake, where your friendships are being challenged, where you're out of your comfort zone in another country and not really understanding what's going on or even the language, you're in those circumstances. We can know that this circumstance will not end in death. We can know that what's going on is about God's glory. That's why this happened here. For God to be glorified and the Son to be glorified. And we can be confident of Jesus' love. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were people closest to Jesus' heart. He loved them. And yet he let them go through this situation. He let this happen. So what's happening in your life today needs to be filtered through this truth, the truth of God's word. It's about God's glory. It's not going to end in death. And most importantly of all, you are loved. If you take that with you today, your life will be transformed. Whether it's an amazing, beautiful moment of life for you or whether it's that most catastrophic event you can imagine. In any of these circumstances that we face in our life, we can come back to this claim of Jesus right here. I am the resurrection and the life. I am God. I am in your life. I love you. This is about God's glory. And it will not end in death. And to prove it, he raised Lazarus from the dead. To prove it to us, he himself laid down his life and he died. And he picked up his life again. And he rose again. The season that we're looking forward to Easter, this is the claim that we're basing our faith on, our trust in. The reason, the manner, and how we live our life, and how we process what happens in our life. On these things right here. And the question Jesus is putting out to me today. Question he's looking at you, Scott, and asking is, do you believe? Do you believe? Father God, we hurt. We've all faced death. There's people missing from our midst today. Leave a big hole in our life. We have family that are no longer there and friends, but we believe that you are the resurrection and life, Jesus. Father, we look at our life and there's situations that we can't control, that we can't overcome. We don't even know how we're going to get through it, but we can believe today that this circumstance will not end in death because you are the resurrection and the life. Lord Jesus, we believe. Apply these words and make them ring in our hearts and our minds this week as we go through whatever's before us. And may we come to the other side where Lazarus is raised from the dead, where we pass through whatever circumstances before us and see your power and your glory at work and be able to say, glory be the name of God the Father, and glory to his Son. We love you, Jesus. And we believe that you are the resurrection and the life. In Jesus' name. As a response, and as the worship team is getting set up here, I'd like to invite you to stand. We're going to read together the Nicene Creed. It's a statement of our faith, of our trust, of what we hold to be true as believers. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. And he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection.